You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Tuesday, the 24th of March. And we've got action on the way from Clonmel. They've got seven races over in Ireland and you'll be able to hear the commentaries from the races at Clonmel on William Hill Betting TV. So join them for that, as well as international racing and every UK Greyhound race live as well. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and Alistair Jones joins me on the line to discuss what's been going on in Ireland today as we record this on Monday and also at Clonmel on Tuesday. Alistair, how are you?
Very well, thank you, John.
Been good to have you on Racing Radio today and now on the podcast as well for those who are listening on demand. So we will get on to your selections at Clonmel very shortly. Before we do that, let's look back at a race we've had just a few moments ago, and if anyone's listening live on air, they would have heard your views on the Davoy Stakes just a few moments previous to this. But for those listening on the podcast on demand, what did you make of this year's running of that race? Numerium was the winner for Joseph O'Brien. A little bit of a surprise winner, it's fair to say. So Dragonet, the favourite, odds on favourite, only second.
Yeah, on the face of it, a an underwhelming return by the hot favourite, Sir Dragonet. Of course, finished fourth in the St. Ledger when we last saw him. You know, that form, along with his close fifth in the Derby, you know, set a fairly high standard. He's clearly not, you know, run to anything like that sort of level on his reappearance, and that's something we have come to expect with these, you know, very good Aidan O'Brien horses who, you know, do very little at home, and that, you know, they get themselves fit on the track. He's, you know, a mile and a quarter would have been too sharp. I know it was very disappointing, especially because he was very strong in the market as well. It's not as though the betting suggested that he was undercooked. But let's not get too negative. You know, it was over 10 furlongs, a trip that's likely to be well short of his best. He's always been more of a galloper than a quickener, hasn't he? So he's a horse that will run a mile and a half, if not maybe not a little bit more later in the season. Yes, it was disappointing, but he was conceding weight all round. He'll almost certainly come on for the run. And we do see these Aidan O'Brien horses get beat first time out and then, you know, go on to much better things as the season progresses. And let's take away nothing from the winner, Numerian, who, you know, has been mildly progressive for the last 12 months. He was a very rock-solid handicapper. And I'll tell you what, he's a nice-looking horse. He really is a good looker, and he's clearly probably going to say goodbye to handicaps after that performance. And, you know, this was a listed race, but a pretty decent listed race, I think, and he'll be very much entitled to take his chance in group company going forwards.
Yeah, it was a good performance, sort of visually impressive, and he has been progressive. And you mentioned that. I thought it was a good point. Yeah, I think Joseph O'Brien kind of gets a bit of stick because he's Aidan O'Brien's son, and people maybe consider him to have had a little bit of an easy ride in terms of his process to get into the training ranks. And though there may be an element of truth of that, I think in what we've seen from him so far, he has proven himself to be a very talented trainer.
Absolutely. Under both codes as well. I mean, he could be as good as he wanted to be over the jumps because he's got all the, you know, JP McManus would have the option of, like, you know, Sir Eric at last year's, you know, Triumph favourite. You know, there'd be loads of those he could cherry pick from Aidan O'Brien if they wanted to do that over the jumps. But, you know, he's just so good on the flat, isn't he, as well? And he's a top trainer. I mean, it's not as though he gets, you look at the connections associated with this horse, you know, the long wait two partnership, you know, it's not a, you know, it's not a blue-blooded pedigree by any stretch, and yet he's done incredibly well with him. He's a very talented lad, there's no question.
Well, let's turn our attention from Monday to now look ahead to Tuesday. The action comes from Clonmel, and you've got two selections for us as usual. In which race does the first one run?
The first one will go in the... There's a lot of runners at Clonmel on Tuesday, and the main bet will go in the 3 o'clock, the handicap hurdle over 2 mile.
Okay, so you're right, we've got a field of 16 runners here, and we have got betting for this, so I'll just go through the prices on the William Hill book. Balcos and Chanteau Cecil were the 11-4 joint favourites, 6-1 Matty's Mountain, Charlotte Wells 11-1, also 11-1 for Sergeant Lightfoot, Clody Valley is 12-1, 14s for De Bennett, Dundee Lad is 14-1, it's 16-1 and bigger for the remainder. So what do you fancy?
I fancy Balcos. Who is towards the head of the market. Didn't do a lot in maiden hurdles, as you'd expect. I mean, he went off a triple, no shorter than 66-1 for any of them. So was very much always going to be a handicapper. And he's duly raised his profile almost instantly, really, since entering the handicap scene. He was well beaten on his first attempt at Thurles in November, beaten about 29 lengths when finishing mid-division, but there was a lot more to take from his latest run at Punchestown when finished third of 12 that day in his second handicap, and he was strong in the market at 9-2. They expected a big run from him, and he duly finished third. That was over 2.5 mile on what was softer, heavy ground, and basically he was just a little too keen for his own good and didn't quite see out that longer trip. Still ran well to finish third, as I said, but didn't quite get home. Interesting that they drop him back to 2 mile on Tuesday, which I think will suit regardless of whether he's, you know, he's keen or not. He's just definitely got races in him off his current mark, and I think he's a big danger on Tuesday.
Okay, currently 11-4, a joint favourite for that 3 o'clock at Clonmel. What about the other pick then?
The other pick's in the 4 o'clock, which is the conditions chase, and this is probably the most interesting race on the card.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, certainly from a quality perspective as well. 2.5 miles, and Bacchuson is the 6-5 favourite, 2-1 Death Duty, Mortal 11-2, 17-2 for Discordantly, and Bonbon Armille is 18-1.
Yeah, it's a good little race. What did you say Bacchuson was there?
6-5 favourite.
Yeah, that's shorter than I thought he'd be, but he's last horse this, that last time this horse ran over fences, he fell in the Cheltenham Gold Cup of 2 years ago, won by Native River, went into that on the back of two small field wins at Thurles and Tremor, and the latter of those was a listed race beat, the solid yardstick Atois Phil, pretty much as he liked. Recorded an RPR of 165 that day. Now, if he reproduces that level of form, he'll win this. I mean, I know Mortal is very much a respected opponent. He hasn't really gone on quite as expected, I don't think. I mean, if you think he was runner up to Delta Work in a Grade One novice chase at Leopardstown last season, he's not won since then, and he's just become a bit disappointing. I know this run at Leopardstown last time was a definite step in the right direction, finished 4th of 8, beaten 12 lengths, but again didn't really see his race out with any great purpose. So if Bacchuson, you know, runs to a level of 165 RPR, then he should win and win well on Tuesday. And I liked his run at Cheltenham in the Coal Cup, finished 6 of 25 behind the horse of the mare of Nicky Henderson's, and was only beaten 7 lengths, got messed about at a crucial time of the race. I mean, otherwise Bacchuson could have, he wouldn't have troubled the winner by any stretch, but he definitely would have made the frame. So I think on the back of that performance, which was very encouraging, returning to fences, I think he'll take a lot of beating on these terms. The other one to mention would be Death Duty, who ran okay in a handicap at the Cheltenham Festival, but no more than that. And essentially, this horse has become a bit disappointing, essentially, given how well he this horse had a very tall reputation, didn't he, 2 or 3 years ago. Gordon Elliott thought the world of him, and he's basically been a bit of an underachiever. So I think if Bacchuson puts his best foot forward on Tuesday, he'd be disappointed if he didn't win that and win it very well.
Yeah, with Death Duty, it seems to have just tailed off a little bit, the promise he was showing when they sent him over fences, because he was so good as an novice herder, then disappointed in the Albert Bartlett, and then it kind of seemed to relight the fire a little bit when he went over fences, and now that's
flattened out.
Yeah,
Which is disappointing, because some of his flashes of form, it's incredibly good. I mean, he beat Mona Lee, of course, who was ran an absolute cracking race in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Beat that in a Grade 2 novice hurdle. You know, he's got some very good form. He beat Rath Vinden, of course, placed in last season's Grand National in a Grade 1 at Fairy House again in 2017. But that's a fair while back now. And he's since returning from, you know, 758 days off the track, he's just not looked the same horse. He's just lacked that spark. And there were no real excuses at Cheltenham in that handicap. You know, to me, he's just a horse that has just become disappointing given how good he looked as though he was going to be as a younger horse.
Back us on then, the pick 6-5 for that 4 o'clock at Clonmel, that conditions chase taking place on Tuesday, the second of the two selections for Alistair on today's edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. All commentaries live on Betting TV for the Irish Racing as they will be going forward. You can view Betting TV on the William Hill website or on the app. All you need to do is log in, and you can also see every UK Greyhound race live and US racing and international racing as well. Thanks for listening to the Daily Racing Podcast. And Alistair, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.